start on Lamed Aleph, and I want to just go through the Gemara Shaka V'Tayya first. And we're going to start with a Gemara which is called Lema Pligi de Rabbi Ovin. So let's see if we can find the place. Let's start from the top, just go fast, but Rashi Tosus, Dibra Maskil, Tosus Dibra Maskil Hachinami, but let's start with the top of the Gemara here, Adaf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, Gufa. And the Gemara quotes Rav Chizda, Mode Rav Nechunya ben Akana. So we're talking about Achilas Chelev, which is Achiv Kares. And Rav Nechunya ben Akana applies the principle of Kimmei ben Ramine in the case of Achiv Kares. But he stole the Chelev, and then the Acholo, then he ate it subsequently, Shehu Chayev. Why? Because from the moment that he was Chayev in Geneva, when he lifted up the Chelev, is Kodim Shiovel Debi, he hasn't yet violated the Isra Achila of Chelev, so that the Chiv Mamon that resulted from Gneva is already set in motion, it's already set in stone. And the subsequent Chiv Misa is not going to patter him up from the Chiv Mamon that was engendered at the time of the Kinyan Agbah. So Lema Pliga de Rabbi Ovin. And this is the famous principle of Akira Tzorech Hanoch. Tiyomar Rabbi Ovin, Hazorek Chetz Mitchilas Arba Lesof Arba V'Karashi Rayim Ba'alichoso Potter. In other words, even though he has not yet incurred the Chiv Misa is only going to emerge when the Chetz actually lands at the end of four Amos. Nevertheless, he's potur for damages for Nezikin on the Kriya Shirayim Shel Chavero because Akira Tzorech Hanochi, the original Akira, was for the necessity of Hanocha. So from the moment that he engages in the first action, which is called Akira, until he finally clinches his Chiv Misa with Hanocha, from that moment to that moment, we apply the principle of Kimle for any Chiv Mamon that would emerge during that period of time. So if during the flight of this arrow it rips Shirayim Shel Chavero, then he doesn't pay damages. Now if we take this principle of Rabbi Ovin of Akira Tzorech Hanocha and we apply it to Rav Chizda's case, Hachinami, we should say the same logic, the Hagbah Tzorech Achilahi, that he begins his process of Achilu with Hagbah. He's going to eat this chelev, but first he has to lift it up and put it into his mouth. Since he did so for the purpose of eating it, that's called litzorach, just like he starts his zrika with an akira litzorach hagbah, and we apply kimle ramine, we should do so in the case of hagbah litzorach achila.
Why does Gemara say lesof arba? What's the sof arba coming to tell you?
So there are two types of chiyuvei hotzah in Meleches Hotzah. There's one called Mershus Lashus,
right,
which means from Mershus Rav Mershus
Yochid. Right,
right,
right. And the other is
Mahri Dalan
Amos. Right.
For some reason, and that's going to be one of the major discussions that we're going to have today, the Gemara is focused on Havaras Dalan Amos, not on Hotzah. And we're going to try to explain that as we go along. So now the Gemara offers two differences between the case of Rav Chizda, where we don't apply Kimle, in the case of Rabbi Ovin, where we do apply Kimle. And the first distinction has to do with what's called Efshar or E-Efshar. And the question is if the first action was absolutely necessary in order to create a Chiv Misa. So when you want to start a Chiv Misa from an earlier stage, you have to ask yourself, according to the first solution that we're about to learn, whether or not that first stage was absolutely necessary. Is it a preliminary stage that could or could not be avoided? And that's what the Gemara says. Hachi hashta hasam. Here's the distinction between the case of Rabbi Ovin and the case of Rav Chizda. In the case of Rabbi Ovin, I efshal anocha below akira. There's no way that he can be chayev for meleches, hotzah, chayev misa without the akira. The akira is the kickoff of meleches. In this case, Maver Dalan Amos, but we'll call it Meleches Hotzah. But Hach, in the case of Rav Chizda, when he steals the Chelev, and he lifts up the Chelev, Efshal Achila Belo Agba, he could have circumvented the Agba. How so? Iboy gachin v'yachil. He could bend down and eat it from the ground without lifting it up. So the Dagba is not efshar biladeha. It's not an absolute necessity in order to be chayv misa for, well, karis in this case, for achilas chaylev. You can eat chaylev without agba. You don't have to lift up the chaylev. Vushteik, where does it say that you have to lift up the chaylev? You have to eat the chaylev. So since you can circumvent the agba is not really part of the machayev. It's not part of the chiyuv karis for achilas chaylev. You don't have to pick it, eat it. Let it. You know, it's more comfortable to obviously to lift it up, but if need be, you'll bend down and it'll eat the chaylev. But in the case of Akira, there's no way that you could have Hanukkah without Akira. And that's called the Efshar. And that means that the Akira is the beginning of the Chiyuv Misa. Inami, now the Gemara is the second Lishna. And Od Ma'at, the Gemara is going to ask the Nafkevini between the two Lishnonos. Iboy Hasam, Iboy La Dura. If he wants to retract his Rikas Chetz. So in the middle of the Zrika, before it lands, Dalet Amos, he decides, hey, you know what? I got to do tshuva. This is not a good situation. His lomotzi l'mahadele, it's too late. The arrow is ready in flight. He can't catch it. He can't retract it. That's called chilas hanocha. That's called a tzorech hanocha. You've already set into motion a meleches hotzah that's going to definitely resolve itself or complete itself in Hanukkah. But Hacha, here in the case of someone who stole a chaylev, Matzimah Adli can decide he doesn't want to eat the chaylev. So whether or not the Agbah is considered part of the Achila would depend upon whether it's reversible or irreversible, retractable or irretractable. In the case of Rav Chisda, it's retractable. He can decide at any moment that he's not going to eat the chaylev, despite the fact that he lifted up the chaylev. But in the case of Rabbi Ovin, why did Rabbi Ovin speak about Zrika specifically? Because Rabbi Ovin wanted to point out that the Zrika is the beginning of the Meleches Hotzah and the Chiv Misa because it's irretractable. Once you've set it into motion, it will land. And it will land because of the force you put in 4 amos further into Rishus Aram. The Gemara wants to know my ikavein high lishna. Ikavein ayu amavir sakin. If he's carrying the sakin, Rishus Aramim, v'kara shirayim balichoso. In other words, do we see the halicha when he's carrying this knife from the beginning of Dalet until the end of Dalet? As the beginning of his chiyuv misa, lelishna the amid according to the first lishna, that e efshal anocha b'lo akira hachanami e efshal anocha b'lo akira. There's no possibility of being chayef a meleches havara without having to be oker the chayef. So you must have the akira in order to produce the chiyuv. That's called e efshal. And then we apply the principle that the Akira is the beginning of the Chiv Misa, hence there's Kimlev Rami. But Lahach Lishna, if you're going to say that it's not dependent upon whether it's Efshar or Lo Efshar, but rather on whether it's retractable or not retractable, Di Amrit Lo Motzi Ladurile, Hocha Motzi Ladurile. If he's carrying the knife, it's in his hand, and any moment he can decide that he's not going to continue carrying the knife, he's going to stop dead in his tracks. Or maybe he'll retrace his steps, and he never completes his meleches hotzah with anocha. So the first lishna is going to say, "Well, you know what? There's no way that you can be chayv for hotzah for mavir technically, unless you actually did an akira. So that akira is critical, and it's the efshar. You cannot achieve the melacha of hotzah without the akira." The second lishna is going to say, wait a minute, is it motzi ladurile or lo motzi ladurile? Let's go on. Gufa. And then we'll pick up the Rishonim and so forth. Amar Rabbi Ovin Azorik Chetz Mitchilas Arba L'sof Arba V'kar Shirai Balichoso Potu. Rabbi Ovin applies the principle of Kim Lev the Ramine even before the Chiv Misas Chal, when he incurs a Chiv Nizikin, but it was within the context, the greater framework of Meleches Havara, because because he did an Akira, and that Akira is what sets in motion the Meleches Havara and the Hanocha, is therefore potter. He doesn't pay damages when he's Korea Shirayim Balichos. Shakir Litzorech Hanocha. Masiv Rabbi Barbaye, what are we going to do with the Brisa? And the Brisa says, Hagonev Kis B'Shabbos. If he steals a wallet on Shabbos, Chayav, he has to pay for the theft, even though subsequently he took that kiss and he carried it into another Rishus, or he threw it into another Rishus. This is no longer a case of Dalet Abbas. We're no longer in the case of Mavir. Now we're talking about a case of Hotzah. Hotzah means he took it from Rishus HaYochid and put it down in Rishus HaRabin. In this case, he steals a wallet from his friend, obviously in Rishus HaYochid, Rishus Bailud, and he takes it out to Rishus HaRabin. And yet, he's Chayim. Which means that we don't apply the principle of Kim Levi the Rabbi. And the question is, why not? In this case, we should say that the Akira was Litzorech Hanocha. His intention was to steal this wallet, take it out of the Rishus HaBailim, which is Rishus HaYofim, and put it down to Rishus HaRabim. So what are you telling me, Kvar Nischayev v'Gneiva Kodesh Yovel Yisuski? It doesn't matter. Even though he was already Chayev in Gneiva before he put down the object, the kiss in this case, on the floor of Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, he started a process with the Akira. And we said before that when you start with the Akira, any Chiv Mama that you incur after that Akira, we're going to apply the principle of Akira Litzorech Hanocha. So how does Rabbi Ovin justify this brisa that says Kvar Nischayev b'gneiva Kodem Shiyovel Lidei Ha'Isur Skila? Yeah, of course it's Kodem Shiyovel Lidei Ha'Isur Skila. Even in the case of Zorek Chetz, it's Kodem Shiyovel Lidei Ha'Isur Skila, and yet he's potter. Obviously, according to Rabbi Ovin, we're not looking at the Shas Achiyuv, but rather the Shas Maisa of Hamachayev that will lead him to the Chiyuv, right? That's the Zrika itself, even though right now he's not Chayev yet, it'll take another second or two. Why don't we apply the same logic to the case of someone who steals a wallet of his friend and he starts carrying it out of the base Bailim, Rishus Bailim, into the Rishus HaYoch, into the Rishus HaRabin? In this case, we should say Kim Levin Ramine, according to Rabbi Ovin, because he already began his Akira when he stole the kiss, when he lifted up the kiss. What do you want to say?
It depends by the Nayu.
Let's think if it depends on the two Lishonos. According to the first Lishna, you know what? I'm going to switch the order if you don't mind. Let's go according to the second Lishna. The second Lishna was that it's irretractable. And that makes it already the Tchilas Chiyuv Misa. Well, in this case, he's actually carrying the kiss. He's holding it onto in his hands and he's taking it out into Rishus HaRabim. What would you say about that case? Is it impossible? Is it retractable or irretractable? Meaning, can he decide before he crosses the threshold out into Rishus HaRabim that he doesn't want to? What? Yeah, he can make that decision that he terminates his Hotzah prematurely, which would be a good decision on his part if he wants to save himself Skila. You know, Skila is a very tough thing. You know, it's a. So therefore, this Gemara's Kasha could only be predicated on the first Lishna. The first Lishna says, there's no way that you can pull off a Meleches Hotzah without an Akira. Here also, if he starts with the Gneva Rishus Bailim with the intention of taking it out into Rishus HaRabim, Efshar by Hanocha B'lo Akira. And then the Brisa makes sense, and the Brisa could say the following. No, I'm sorry. And then the Brisa makes no sense, I meant to say, right? Let me get the calculation right. Because this is a case of Akira Tzorech Hanochen. Therefore, why does the Bryce say he's Chayev? He should be part of it. We should apply Kim Leib the Ramine. So let's take a moment to look at this Tosfos, Dibra Maskel Hochenami. Yeah? Hochenami. You know what? Maybe we should read the Gemara before we read Tosfos. I deliberately tried to skip the Sefer of the Braisa because I wanted to focus on the Reisha. The Gemara's cash is on the Reisha, where you don't apply the principle of Kim Leib the Ramine, and he's chayav for the Gneva, which is a kash on Rabbi Ovin, at least Rabbi Ovin in the Lishna Kama of the Efshar Ba'anoch Lo Akira. So let's read the Sefer, the Braisa, as well. The Braisa says, are you Magara V'yotze? Magara V'yotze. So now what he's doing is he's dragging the wallet, the pocketbook on the ground, and he's removing it from Rishus HaYochid and placing it down in Rishus HaRavim. In such a case, Potter, he doesn't have to pay for Gneva. Why? Shari Yisra Shabbos, so Gneva, Boim Ki Echad. At what moment in time will he be Chayv Misa for the Yisra Shabbos? It's the very moment that the object is taken out of the Rishus Bayil, which is Rishus HaYochid, and placed into Rishus HaRavim. Well, that's the exact moment in which he's high for Gneva. Why? Because he never lifted up the wallet. So now the Gemara says Vamai, but here's a little tricky. The word Vamai is going back onto the Reisha. Right? The Reisha says that in the case where he steals the kiss and he takes it out to Rosh Hashanah, he's chayav for the stealing of the kiss, i.e. we suspend the principle of Kim Leib the Ramine, because he's already chayav for Gneva from the moment that he stole it. He needs the Hagbah in order to take it out, which is exactly what Rabbi Ovin said expands the application of Kim Leib the Ramine. That once he's involved in the Tchilas Chiyuv, we can already set into motion the Kim Leib the Ramine for any Chiyuv Momen that will be incurred subsequent to that. Why? Because the initial Maisa is called the Tchilas Chiyuv. Here also, if that's the case of Akira Tzorech Hanocha, then Hagbol Tzorech Hotza is also a case of Lutzorech. Did I go too fast?
Which
we didn't start Tosis yet because I reminded myself that it's a little premature. We should read the Gemara. But the Tosis that we're going to learn in Rishon Hashem is Hacha. If you see that, it's about four Tosis up from the bottom of the page.
There's no Agbah by Megarav Yotze.
Right. There's no Agbah.
And why is he Potter?
He's Potter because there's a split second in which he incurs two chiyuvim, a chiyuv misa and a chiyuv mama. He's chayav for the gneva, not because he made a previous kinyan, he never lifted it up. Right. So his chiyuv gneva is only when he takes it out of one rishus, named the rishus of the bialim, and brings it out to rishus of rabbin. That's
the
kinyan.
At the same moment, he's
chayav for hotzah.
So why would you say hagbalats?
No. I'm just saying, that's why I tried to. I was in trouble because I tried to avoid this Gemara. I wanted to skip it because I knew it would confuse us. The next word, Valmai, is going back to the ratio of this price. It's a little bit confusing. You should really bracket the Sefer. It's one of those cases of like A, B, if you know what I mean. Uh-huh. We're going back to the
beginning. Which case is this Amai?
Oh, this is a case where he lifted up the Arnaki. And if he lifted it up, the Braisa says that he's chayav for that because already at that moment he's chayav for Gneva. He made a kinyan hagbah, and that's in the Rishus of the Bible. So that per se is fine, but the problem is, why don't we apply Kim Leib the Ramine? Because when he removes the object, in this case the kiss, from the Rishus Bailim and he places it down in his own Rishus or in Rishus Rabin, whatever it might be, in that case we should say that the original lifting up of the kiss was the start. Exactly. That was Lascholas Achiv. That's called the Tzorch. And then we should apply Rabbi Ovin's principle of Akir Lutzorch.
Rashi specifically says that Amai is going on the Rishon.
Okay, good. So we're in the right ballpark, as we would say.
Thank you.
Now we're up to Tosis Dibra Maschil Hachanami. So I'm going to take a minute here, and we're going to read through this Tosis. So the Gemara asked the Kasha on Rabbi Ovin, who holds that a Kirat Tzorach Hanocha, why is it that in the case of Igbiyas Hakis for Shus HaBailim, the Brisa says we do not apply the principle of Kibbutz Ram, and he's chayv already for Gneva at the time of the Kinyan Agbah. And the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Ovin, okay, he's chayv for the Kinyan Agbah, but he's already embarked upon the beginning stages of a Chiyuv Misa. And the Chiyuv Misa is going to culminate the very moment that he takes this kiss and he puts it down and he puts it down in Rishus Harab, correct? At that moment he's chayv from Aleches Hotzah. Why don't we apply Kibbutz Ramini here? Now Tosis points out that Lishna, according to the first Lishna, we have a simple answer to this question. It's the second Mishnah, right? The Iboy Aduri or Lo Matzil Aduri, right? The whole issue hinges on whether he can bring it back or he cannot, or is it retractable? Lo Parach. That was not the Gemara's Kash. And why is that? Because in the case of Rabbi Ovin, it's irretractable. But in the case of this price, it's very much retractable.
Not if he's in Rishus HaRabim already. What's the Metzius of the
right,
case?
Right, we're asking, what do you say?
He's taken it, he may not necessarily go up to Rishus HaRabim.
Right, so we're focused now on the Akira. We're asking, is the Akira, when he lifted up this kiss, L'tzorach HaTzah? And the answer is that according to the second Mishnah, it's only considered L'tzorach HaTzah if it's irretractable.
Right.
Now, the moment that he lifts it up, does he have to go out and Rishus HaRabim? It's not like the case in Zrika, where it's definitely going to land in the place where he's chayv from Aleches Havaris Dalet Amos. Here, it's not definitely going to land. He's not even throwing it. He's just carrying it. And it may be that he'll stop before he crosses the threshold into Rishus HaRabim. So that's called Iboy Ladure. In such a case, we're not going to apply the principle of Rabbi Ovin. Rabbi Ovin only applies, according to again the second Mishnah, if it's low boy ladure. For example, he throws his chetz. Nothing he can do. He can scream at the top of his lungs and stand on his head. He can't get it back. So Tosis is bothered by the following question here. You could say that the Gemara's cash is predicated on the first Lishna, de'i efshal anocha v'lo akir, that's impossible to have anoch without an akir. Parath, the Gemara asks, hachinami, here in this case of the Brisa, e efshal anocha v'lo agba. You can't have a melech shabbos and a chiyuv misa without the agba. So Tosis is not happy. The afagav the efshal begreira. Who says that he needs this akira of hagbas akis in order to achieve a meleches hotzah? I have another alternative. He could have been megar v'yotze. He could have dragged it on the floor. He says v'afal gav. You have it. The efshar begreira. He could have easily have dragged it. So why do you tell me that this hadbah is Efsha biladeha? It's part of the chiyuv misa because you can't avoid it. Mm-hmm. When in truth you could avoid it through grera.
But he still has anocha. He still has an akira and anocha. When he takes it, there's still the akira, even though he drops it on the ground. So. And then he takes it into Rishus HaRabim and he leaves it there. That's the Hanocha.
But did that Hanocha need this Akira? Could he have done the Hanocha without Akira? And no. The answer is Megara V'yotze.
What is Megara V'yotze? What's the Metzias Megara V'yotze?
He drags it on the ground.
It was lying on the ground.
Right. It was lying on the ground in the Rishus of the Nignav, and he drags it.
No, he didn't take it and put it on the ground and drag it.
Yeah, how is that different than Chalev, where the Gemara says he didn't have to lift up the Chalev, he could have just bent down and eat the Chalev from the floor?
So let's say if he actually took it and put it on the ground in Rishus Yochid, and then dragged it.
So that would be a problem also, because that... No.
So that Yanocha then would be...
Right, that would certainly be a case... Where he's chayav.
That the gnei was first.
The gnei was first, right. Now you can ask, all right, he lifted it up in the Rishus Bailu, put it down in Rishus Bailu, and then he decides to lift it up a second time take it out.
Yeah,
that should be kimlev the Rambam Minei. But in the case where he lifted it up and he puts it down in Rishus Bailu, that's not kimlev the Rambam Minei, because he can't view that Akira as the Tzorach Hanocha. So yeah. Tosis is asking, in the case of an Akira where he lifted it up, the Gemara has a Lishna, this is the first Lishna, of the Efshar. Right? That you can't have the Hanukh of the Chetz without shooting it out. So Tosus asks, but in this case I have a very good option from him, a very fine alternative. Instead of lifting up the kiss, he could have dragged the kiss on the ground. So this particular form of Hagbah was not necessary. It's not a case of efshar. It's a case of efshar, and therefore, according to the first Lishna, it's understood that we would apply the principle of kimlev d'rabbanei. I'm sorry. According to the first Lishna, it's understood that we cannot apply the principle of kimlev d'rabbanei because it's not called an akivul tzorach hanoch because it's not a case of efshar, and that was the first Lishna. That we only apply kimlev d'rabbanei when it's the efshar, because if it's the efshar, that's the beginning of the chiyuv, because you couldn't have done it anyway in any other alternative way. Same thing here. Are we going to be willing to say that he had to lift up the gzela, the gneva, in order to be chayav for hotzah? No, he could be chayav for hotzah even without lifting up the gneva. How? By dragging it out. So Tosfos says it's not a kash. Why? He says, "Kachli akira zu kimo akira cheres." In other words, what are you going to tell me? He could have dragged it. What's the difference between dragging it and lifting it up? In both cases, it's a complete mais akira. Kachli akira degrera. Kamo Akira Cheres. Now, I'm just going to read to you a few lines here from the Masifti. He writes, Klomar, Keva de Bimonefshach, Eno Yochel Ischayev Lelo Agba, Shuvlo Ichbaslan, the Ofen Agba. He says the following. I'm just going to make a note of it so I know where I'm holding here. He says the following. We have a principle called Akira Tzorach Hanoch, which activates Kimlev D'Rabbanei. And that applies, according to the first Lishna, whenever it's a case of Efshar. You must have the Akira in order to achieve the Hanoch. So Tosfos answers that Mimonafshach, you cannot say that he should be Chayav for Shabbos without the Hagbah. Again, the Hagbah here represents the Mashicha. Right? The Hagbah represents the Akira, I meant to say, right? So, what difference does it make how he does the Akira? In any event, that Akira is absolutely critical. He cannot violate the Meleches Hotzo without an Akira.
Right.
So therefore, that's called the Efshar. I don't have to enter into the specifics, the nuances. Well, did he have to do it this way? Did he have to do it that way? The main thing is he must do an Akira. He cannot have Anokh without an Akira in the physical universe. Therefore, lo ichbaslan, it makes no difference to us whatsoever, the ofen hagbah, in which particular form of hagbah actually took place. Im hoya acher, I guess another person, ose hakira lo hoya zemischayev. Banoch. Nimtza dakira goremes achiv, vialshas hanocha, moshech achiv.
Mushach.
Mushach? Instead of moshech?
It's passive. Okay. Mela comes back to, or the chiyuv comes Zakir. Back to the hanacha. No, that makes sense.
No, so, he's saying that from the hanacha we go back to the time of the akira.
To the akira.
And the akira is the goremes es achiyuv for hanacha.
Yeah, right.
So during that period of time, from akira up until hanacha, we apply the principle of kim lev d'ram mineh.
Yeah.
What difference does it make which particular form of Hagbah, i.e. Akira, he decides to implement? It's totally irrelevant. Whatever method he chooses, since it culminates in a Chiyuv Misa for Melechus Hotzah, therefore it's considered Litzorech. It's considered the first action that's going to lead to a Chiyuv. And that action must take place in one form or another. So, for example, if Reuven would do the Akira without Shimon doing the Akira, Shimon would never be chai for the Hanocha.
Yeah, right.
Like in a baton, pass the baton. There was a relay race.
Yeah.
So Reuven passed it over to Shimon, and then Shimon
passed it over before
in the Rishus of the Nignav.
And the Rishus of Yochid, yeah.
Right, the Rishus of Yochid, and now Shimon picks it up from Reuven and puts it down in Rishus HaRav. He would not be chayv because he never did an Akira.
But that itself is Akira when he takes it from Reuven.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. For that you have to know if it's Makom Dalet al Dalet, and you have to go through the whole eight blot of Gemara and so I'm just trying to make it simple for us. What I'm trying to suggest is that Tosis is illustrating that the Akira is a critical part of the Chiyuv. By the fact that if someone else had done the Akira, again, you'll work out the logistics, but he, let's say, Reuven did not do the Akira, he only did the Hanocha, he would not be Chayim.
How does that work as regards from the Geneva point of view? Because if Reuven's doing the original Geneva,
right,
and he gives it over to Shimon before he goes out of the Yeshus, so then isn't Shimon then got the status of a Galah?
So Reuven did what? He did Reuven, he did that bar?
He did that bar.
What was his intention? Is he going to return it to the owner, or is he going to keep it for himself? If his intention is to keep it for himself, then at that moment he's already chayv for gneiva, right, if he lifts it up.
Shimon just said, pass me that thing. So Reuven picked it up and passed it to him?
Oh, Reuven had no aware. He was not aware that it's a gneiva. That's your case.
Yeah.
Ah, so that would be an interesting question. What did Shimon do at that point when he received the object? Did he take it out into another rishus?
Yeah.
Then he's chayv for gneiva because he decided to take it out. It wouldn't be Reuven that was chayv because Reuven was unaware of the fact that it was Shabbos.
In that case, he did it.
So in such a case, Shimon would be we would apply the principle of Kibbutz Rabbeinu. Why? Because
he won't be chayav the moment, right? But he would take over the Geneva aspect of it, wouldn't he, Shimon?
I think so. Because Reuven's out of the picture. Reuven had no intention of stealing.
Right.
He thought it was belonged to Shimon.
Right.
But Shimon knew very well it belonged to Levi, and he picked it up in order not to return it.
He has to have the dust.
He's chayav for Geneva.
So how's his Chiyuv of Shabbos happen? He never made an Akira. Or do we say that when he went out the door,
that's what Herb was asking, exactly where do we pinpoint the Akira? But my only point is, and I think that's what Tos wants to illustrate, that if you'd have a Chetimtza where the Ganav would not actually be involved in the Akira, then he would be Potter and Shabbos. So by definition, we must have, that's the prerequisite to be Chai for Shabbos and Akira. Now, what exactly was the Akira is irrelevant. Whether the Akira was Akbar, whether the Akira was Gorev Yotze. In both cases, the Efshar Lizchayev, he can't be Chayev without the Akira. So whatever particular form the Akira takes place is secondary. But it's always going to be based on the principle of Yavin, Akira Litzar Chotza. Or Akira Litzar Chanach would be a better term. So it really comes out the following, that according to both Lashonos in the Gemara, determining and restricting Akira Litzar Chanach of Rabbi Yavin, the Gemara has no kasha. There's no reason why the Gemara should be up in arms here on Rabbi Yavin. If we're going to say retractable or irretractable, that's what Akira Litzar Chanach is. Well, I got news for you. In the case that he's carrying the kiss, it's retractable. He can decide not to take it out into the Rishus HaRabbah. And if you're going to go with the Efshar or Lo Efshar, then L'chor it's Lo Efshar. It's Efshar because he could have done it through Gerira. Tos says no. The Gemara's kasha is that even though he could have done it with Gerira, it's still called the Efshar. Why? Because it's the Efshar is chayev for Anoch with that Nakira. And if another person would jump in and he would do the Akira, you would not be chayev on Shabbos. He says the following. Mikolakom Iser Otsa Maschil Mishas Agba. The imoya acher, he's just bringing a proof. If someone else would make the akira, lo hayizem is chayv banoch. You can't be chayv for anoch itself. You must have an akira to be chayv. So whatever that akira is, that's the tchilas achiyu. Nimtza the akira go remes achiyu. Fiad shas anocha moshech achiyu. So the chiyuv continues from the time of the akira. Because the Akir itself is the beginning of the Chiyuv, of the Isur.
So it's sort of just waiting in the air until there's finally a Hanukkah, and then the Akira is activated to make a pair of Akira Hanukkah.
Correct.
Until that happens, it's just Talui V'Omez.
Correct. Excellent. Yeah. Wonderfully said. And therefore, if at the end of the day it culminates with Hanukkah, then from the time he made the Akira, he was involved in the Chiyuv.
Retroactive.
Again, I wouldn't call it retroactive. I don't know if we have to say that. It's conditional. Retroactive means that something happens later that changes the past. We don't have to change the past. What we have to do is the past has to come to a fruition with the Hanukkah. If it doesn't, if it burns up in midair, he's not chayv for the Akira. But the Akira is certainly the Tchilas Achiyuv. And therefore the Gemara is up in arms here. How can it be that the Brice of Rabibi says he's chayv for the Gneva, Kodem Shiyomali Dei Sir Skila, and therefore he's going to get both punishments. He's going to get the chiyuv of monetary payment for Kneva, and that was incurred at the time of Akbar. And when he takes it out to the other Rishus, he's got a misa, but he'll get both punishments. What happened to Kimle Viramine? So you can tell me where there's no Be'idah because the chiyuv for Nezikin, or for Kneva, I should say, took place beforehand. What do you mean beforehand? It's not beforehand. It's already at the time of the chiyuv misa. Not the chiyuv misa before, but at least the tchilas chiyuv misa. That was the Gemara's cash.
How far does he have to walk in Rishus HaRabim to be chayav Ganeva?
Just has to pass over the threshold.
It's shin rishus.
Right. That's a kinyan.
So then he's chayav that before he's chayav Shabbos.
Well, at that moment that he crosses the threshold, he's chayav on Shabbos. Right? You mean to say if he's still walking?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, if he continues walking. Oh, that could be that's an interesting question. But let's say at the minute he gets into Sarab, he stops.
Yeah.
So then he's chayav for both Hotzah and for the Kinyan Gneva at the same moment. That simultaneity will trick off the halacha of Kimle V'Ramine. So why does the Brisa say that he's not chayav? So let's just read the last line in Tosis once more. Nimtza Akira Goremes Achiyuv. Piachas Hanocha Moshe Achiyuv. That the Tchilas Achiyuv is with the Akira. And if there was no Akira, for example, someone else did the Akira, he would not be Chayuv. And therefore he's already in the process of violating the Melech HaShabbos with the Akira, which in this case means the Agbah. And therefore, he's going to be subject to, or shall I say, he'll be exonerated from the chiyuv of paying for the gneva because of the principle of kimlev the rabbi. That's the Gemara's kasha. So what I want to do here is take a look at this paragraph here on page Kuf Tzadi Beis. What do you say? Yeah, okay, good. Feel better. Yeah, feel better. And we're going to try to... Kuf Tzadi Beis. Yeah. Now, let me try to give you a little bit of an introduction.
Feel better.
Herb, do you want to take a drink on your way out? Like a tea or a coffee? All right. Okay. What do I believe is the focal point of this entire presentation that we're about to embark upon? I think he's saying the following, that when we talk about the first Lishna, that Akira Tzorach Anocha only applies when Efshal Anocha below Akira, how do we understand that? Do we understand that in terms of a Chiyu for Meleches Hotzah, meaning we have this abstract halachic definition of Meleches Hotzah, in this case Mavir. Well, actually, I'm sorry, I stay corrected. In this case of Meleches Hotzah Mirshus L'Rishus, and we need an Akira, because without an Akira he would not be Chayav. That's one way of understanding. Then he has another possibility of understanding it a little bit different. And I think the key words is the following. That kishe efshar b'lav hachi, second, and it's part of the chiyuv misa. What does that mean? That when we're talking about E-F-Shar, we're talking about a mitzius of E-F-Shar. That without a certain action, which again, that action is Mechayv and Mamon, he would not be able to be Chayv Misa. In order to shed a light on this, again, it may take me a few minutes, so you'll bear with me, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. I just need to get to that light.
I think it's
to the Anocha. What we want to do is look at Rabbeinu Tam. What we want to do is try to integrate Rabbeinu Tam with this Tosis that we just learned, and then reread the Tosis very carefully. Now, where is this Rabbeinu Tam? This Rabbeinu Tam is in Tosis Di Ramasil She'akira. Do you see such a Tosis?
Yeah.
Kosha de'amriyam b'meruba gabi gonav u'mochar b'shabes de'potum Kigon, the Omer lays rok gnevo secho le chatzeri, v'tikni li chatzeri gnevo secho. Uparech, m'chi moti li avir chatzero kono, u'mischai benafsho mishum Shabbos lo havi ad shetanuach. So in the Gemara itself, the Gemara says that we should not apply Kimlev Derabine in this case of a Chiyuv Dalid Vehe, right? If a Ganav sells the stolen object, he's Chayev Dalid Vehe. And the case was that he sold it on Shabbos, and do we apply Kim Lev the Rabbinate to exempt him from Dalet Vehei? And what the Lokach said to the Mocher, keep in mind the Mocher is also the Ganav, right? He has two, he's wearing two hats. He's the Ganav who stole it, and he's wearing the Mocher's hat as he's selling it. And the Lokach says to him, throw the Gneva into my Chatzer, and my Chatzer will be kona this stolen object.
Where is he selling?
Now, keep in mind that the Chatzer is a Rishus HaYachid, which means that if the Gneva, meaning the object HaGonuv, right, the object itself, is in Rishus HaRavim, when the Ganov throws the object and it lands in the Chotzer of the Lokeach, at that point he becomes Chayav for Meleches Hotzah. Again, because the object is in Rishus HaRavim, and now he's throwing it into a Chotzer, which is Rishus HaYachid. So the Ganav now is getting Kara Chiyuv Misa for Shabbos. At the same moment, he's Chayev Dalet Vehei for Mechira. And the Gemara says that in such a case, he's Potter. He doesn't have to pay the Dalet Vehei because we're going to activate the principle of Kim Lev the Rabbin. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand. Are you telling me that simultaneously with the Kinyan Gneva, he's chayav for Shabbos? That's not true. He's chayav for the Kinyan Gneva in the case of Zrokli B'chatzera even before he incurs the Chiyuv Misa, because once the object is in the airspace of the Lokeach is koneh through what's called Avir Chatzer. When will the Ganav incur a Chiyuv Misa? Only when the object lands on the ground in the Chatzer. And all this is based on the principle of Hanocha. You're not Chayav for Shabbos without the Hanocha. So again, as far as Kinyan and Gneva is concerned, you can be Chayav once you make the Kinyan through Chatzer. The Kinyan Chatzer is Chal, even if what? It's still suspended in midair. At what point is it going to be Chayav for Shabbos? You need Hanocha Schefetz. And while it's hovering over in the air, he's not chayav yet. He can be chayav as a ganov, and the reason for that is because chatzir aviro shel chatzir konolo. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, he's not chayav until his actual hanocha. So how can you tell me that in this case he's going to be potter, and you're going to apply the principle of kibbutz ramine? There's no beitna. That's Gemara's kash.
For Shabbos as well, not just for Gneva.
No, I think Kluta Gavisha Huncha Dami will only apply in certain cases. In what cases? Just 1 second. I think because he threw it into another Rishus and then it continues in a different Rishus. So then we say he's Chayv Shtayim because he's got a Hotzah and a Hnosa, if you know what I mean. So then we apply Kluta Kamisha. But if you have a Gemara Bava Kama, we can look this up and see if the Gemara actually quotes the Halach of Kluta Kamisha Chundam. And that's where I think the Gemara actually mentions Kluta Kamisha Chundam. If you're getting a Bava Kama, just make sure it has Daf Ayin on the base, because sometimes they break it up into different volumes. Right, take a look if you can on Daf Ayin on the base and see if you can find the words Mishum Shabbos Lohavi Ad Shetanua. Ayin on the base. Mishum Shabbos lo havi ad shetanua. It's probably like around here. Oh, the Gemara does call Kluta Kamishon.
Yeah. Amar Papa be Omer li zrok nevotecha lechatzeri v'tikni li genevotecha. Keman karab Yekiva di Amar Kluta Kamishon chadami. Di'i karabanan kevan dematya lechatzer beito kana. le'inyan Shabbat lo mechayev ad shematya la'ara.
Ah, ad shematya la'ara. So, in other words, this brisa, which says that ganav u'macha b'Shabbos potter, that's based on Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva holds klut kamisha hunchadam. But if you don't accept klut kamisha hunchadam, he's not going to be chayev for Shabbos until it lands. He's already chayev midin aver chotzer. And aver chotzer doesn't need a hanocha. You're chayev because
right, as soon as it gets into
because it's within space. The walls, the you know the gates of the chotzer. So Tosa says the following: Ulapirish Rabbeinu Tam Osi Shapir. Now, where is this Rabbeinu Tam? We're learning three Masechtas now at the same time, Rabosai. We're learning Ksubis, Bava Kama, and Gittin. And what we're doing is we're taking the principles here in Masechtas Ksubis, applying them to the Gemara of Bava Kama, the Sugya of Bava Kama, based on Rabbeinu Tam in the Sugya of Gittin. What happens in the Sugya of Gittin? And this is on Daf Nun Beis, on the Beis in Gittin. There's a principle called the Efshar Lenisuch below Hagbah. So the question is, if a person steals someone's wine and he pours it for Avodah Zarah, does he pay for the wine? He's Chayav Nisa for Avodah Zarah. That's called Nisuch Hayayin. So Rabbeinu Tam says that in the case of Nisuch, we're going to apply the principle of Kim Levi the Ramine, and he's going to be potter for paying for the value of the wine that he stole or that he destroyed, even though he did so at the moment of Hagbah. At what point is he chayv for Avodah Zarah? Only at the point of Nisuch, when he actually pours the wine. So Rabbeinu Tam is going to apply the principle of the Efshar L'Nisuch B'lo Agbah. There's no way that you can pour the wine without lifting it up. It's not like the case of Chelev, where you could possibly orchestrate eating the Chelev without lifting up the Chelev. But in the case of Nisuch Hayayin, without lifting up the
Nisuch,
is you have to lift up the wine and then pour it to do Nisuch. So Rabbeinu Tam is going to apply the principle of Akiva L'Tzorech Hanocha to the case of Nisuch Yayin. And even though the Chiyuv Gneva was clinched at the moment that he lifted up the Yayin of Yenum, nevertheless, we're going to apply Kimle because of the principle of the oven of L'Tzorech, and we're going to have to say it's Efshar. And why is it Efshar? Because there's no possibility of Nisuch without lifting up the Yayin.
There, I don't know if there's any difference, but there's not a case of Geneva, it's a case of damaging.
Right, right. This is a case of Mazik. Right. But L'chor, it should be, as far as I know, the principle should be the same. Now, Rabosai, let me ask you the following question. There's a very simple answer to this question. You could ask a child, he would give you the answer. At the moment of Hagbah, is that the Tchilas Chiyuv of Avodah Zarah? No way, no how.
No, he didn't know what he's going to do with it.
Right. No, but I mean to say, you could ask me that about Akiva L'Tzorech Hanocha. How do you know what he's going to do with it? So, you know, then we go, I don't want to use the word retroactive, but so he lifted up and then he did the Nisuch. But ask yourself the question, are you going to tell me that the Nisuch begins with Hagbah? Rabbeinu Tam is breaking new ground over here. Let's see how revolutionary Rabbeinu Tam
is.
It's only with Shabbos.
Right, but again, if we're going to define Akiva L'Tzorech Hanocha, meaning that there's no Meleches Hotzah without Akira, if we're going to say that the Tchilas Chiyuv, that Akira is the Tchilas Chiyuv because that is part of the Maisa Avera Mechayeves, the Torah makes you chay for doing two pa'ulos, Akira and Anocha, then that doesn't parallel the case of Rabbeinu Tam of Ein Nisuch B'lo Agbah. So what we're doing now is we're breaking new ground. We're saying that Akira L'Tzorech Anocha applies even in a case where the Efshar is not a halachic definition of the Machayev or the Avera, but rather it's the physical Metzius of the Efshar. And if it's the Efshar, that already is considered the Tchilas Chiyuv for Kimleib the Rabbinay, because you can't avoid that action if you want to be Chayev Misa for Avodah Zarah. But it doesn't mean to say that Akira Tzor Hanoch applies literally in this case of Hagbah, because no one could argue that the Hagbah is part of the Maisa Nisuch or part of the Avera Machayevis of Avodah Zarah. So we're now coming up with a different definition of the Efshar. And that's what I think this essay is about in the Mishkanos HaRoim. Take a look at the paragraph that starts the Ode
Mavur B'Tosfot.
Yeah, and then we'll go back to the previous paragraph. I'm taking it a little bit out of order because I think if you remember last week I got stuck. It was because I couldn't get out of this first paragraph. But I think when we get to the second paragraph, I think it'll shed a light on the first paragraph. He says, what we see from Rabbeinu Tam is Ba'ofen She'ena Maisa Afilu. Let's add the word Afilu, right? He says Afilu. Afilu Ba'ofen She'ena Maisa Michelke HaVera. This cannot be equated to Akira L'Tzorch HaNoch, who Yechai for the Akira, no less than Yechai for the HaNoch. Nami Potter, we're still going to apply the principle of Kimle and Tchilas Achiyuv. Why? Kishei Efshar B'Lav Hachi, because it's impossible without it. Sharei Kosvu Rabbeinu Tam Pirish the Hagbah L'Tzorch Nisuchi, the Efshar L'Nisuch B'Lo Hagbah.
That's a practical application.
Correct. It's in the practical world that we live in, the material world that we live in, it's impossible to arrive at B without doing A. So even though A is not part of the Avera,
is there any Makshava required by the Nisuch?
He could be picking up to drink it.
What I'm saying is that if he just tipped it over without Akbar, and he had in mind to do Nisuch.
Oh, interesting. That's Gachin V'Achil.
He tipped it over
without Hagbah.
Right.
He's got the barrel and tipped it over. That's,
yeah, I don't know. I guess Nisuch requires that you hold on to it.
It's not a proper Nisuch.
And you actually pour
it. That
would be Shalom Kedar.
Don't accept that.
So the Derech Nisuch, says Rabbeinu Tam, is when you lift up the casket, you know, whatever it has in it, the barrel of wine, and then you pour the barrel.
But in no way can you say that every time somebody lifts up wine, that this could be the start of Nisuch.
Yeah, no way.
Correct. Again, we're going to have to wait for the ultimate Nisuch. As we've said always in Akira Tzorch HaNocha, we have to wait for the ultimate HaNocha.
Right,
but where does the Avera begin, or where does the Metzius begin? Do you follow the difference of those two questions? If you ask me where the Avera begins with Nisuch. But if you have to wear the Metzius that could set up or culminate in the Avera, that begins with Hagbah. And that's where Rabbeinu Tam's breakthrough here. That we're going to apply Kimleib the Rabbinay, we're going to consider a certain action as Tchilas Achiyuv, even though it has nothing to do with the Chiyuv, other than the fact that it's a necessary precondition in order to physically implement and achieve the goal of the Isur of the Chiyuv Misa. Wow.
So you could say that Rabbeinu Tam widens the concept of Letzorah.
Correct. Don't be limited to the case of Akira Tzorch HaNoch and Yefshe HaNoch B'lo Akira, as if to say that there's a broader definition of the Avera, and the Avera includes the Akira as well. No. That would be limiting the principle of Rabbi Yovan of Akira Tzorch HaNoch. Akira Tzorch HaNoch means whenever it's Yefshar, that in Metzius there's no way that you could violate the Chiyuv Misa without doing one pu'ula, whatever that pu'ula is, which Rabbeinu Tam in the case of Nisuch identifies as Hagbah, then we're going to apply the principle of Kimleib the Rabbinay, because it's a Tchilas Chiyuv, but we're going to give you that Meshach HaZman from the time that you began your Akira until you finally finished with Hanoch.
But the Tchilat Chiyuv has to be immediately before. It can't be that he got up in the morning and it's impossible to do a Nisuch Hayayin without getting up in the morning. It has to be something immediately
totally
preceding it, linked to it in some way.
You mean like a Tokhid Ediba kind of thing, you mean? Or some time?
I don't know if it's a time or an or action that there's a that this is an action immediately preceding. When you say tchilas chiyuv, it has to be
so all
connected
that we can
to the
clarify field. The moment he does the nisuch.
Yeah.
Again, I just want to avoid the retroactive, but I don't want to get caught up in that argument. But as soon as he does the nisuch, we understand that the hadbah was certainly the tchilas,
and it's only from a practical point of view,
right? And the only way he could have achieved that nisuch is through hagbah. And Rabbi Tam, in such a case, was willing to, as you said before very well, is willing to expand the application of kibbutz rabbinic and akiyut zoch hanocha to any action that's necessary in the physical universe in order to achieve the chiyuv.
Right. That's right. Yes.
So therefore, the lishna kamal lemandi yomar akiyut zoch hanocha. And if it's the efshar below there, that's enough to activate the principle of kimle d'ramine. The law meaning to be shas hagbah kani umischai benafshel ohavi ad shas nisuch upolega Rabbi Yirmiya. I forget who Rabbi Yirmiya is. Does anybody remember? We'll see. We'll figure that out soon. Is Alma the Tama Ptur Bishneim will be shum di efsha belav hochi. Elo the trei gavne I efsha ika chada mashi I efsha b'mitzius below ma'isaze shemechayev mamon. He wants to pinpoint that action which generates a chiyuv mamon, and then ask if that is a necessary action in order to accomplish the goal of a chiyuv misa.
Of the nisuch.
For nisuch, mm-hmm. He says v'chadin. Now there's another category of ki sheyefsha below hadin. I don't know what he means below hadin. I would have said alpi din. Shenasa b'shas chiyuv mamon. One second. V'chadin sheyefsha below hadin. The language is a little bit ambiguous. Shenasa b'shas chiyuv hamamon kshigbil etzorach hotza v'afgav diyochol lasos maisa
acher
v'afgav diyochol lasos maisa acher. Oh, he means you could substitute a greira for hagbah.
Yeah.
Oh, here he says it, spells it out. He go greira mikomakom yefshav below din akira.
Could it be Dean? Could it be like below Akira Zet, below Dane Akira?
In Aramaic, you mean?
Yeah.
You call it could be Efsha below.
The other one also sounded that way. A Dane, Shanasa Bashant Chiyur.
Efsha below Dane Akira. Chilek mi Chiyur. Oh, I see. I think I know what the key words are. You could underline the words chelak hachiyuv, right? And that contrasts with the first category, which is efshar below. That's part of the same. Efsha below din akira. That's called chelik nachiv. And the first category is efsha b'metzius. See, I would leave out the word below. Maybe you see three lines up before the end of the paragraph. He says the efshar. The word below here, I think, is just a little confusing. I would say e efshar al pi din. If you just accept that, that's what I think he has in mind. E efshar al pi din. And the first answer was the Efshe B'Metzius, which is about six lines up before the end of the paragraph. Now let's see how that, this is my goal for today, if I can accomplish this goal, how that compares to the Ra'ah, which we did on page Kuf Tzadi. So maybe the first paragraph will help us. Ibra d'midibri atos b'sugyan mashma sheyesh lam shita shlishit v'ger adin d'akiru l'tzorach ha'nocha d'ayim v'tos d'maskel hocha nami. Right, hocha nami, that was the toast we did before. Shehikshu kushas rishonim anal my park mikonev kis ha'efshe v'greira the kosu dochinami e efshar la nocha below agba afal gav the efshar begreira kafli akiri kmo akiris acheres mikopka isamasa mishas agba. So we saw this, right?
Or greira.
Oh, harishal lo kosvu, please underline that, lo kosvu bepshitas ke hara'ah. The chelik miachiv misa gamkein poter mitashlume el noktu al losha di efshar la'anocha below agba.
Where does the hara'ah mentioned here? I don't see it.
That's on the previous page, kuf tzadi.
But you just read something that had the
hara'ah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Three and a half lines before the end of this paragraph.
Oh, it's time. Right here.
Yeah.
Aye. Thank you.
You see the words in Tosfos. See if you can find the words in Tosfos about three lines into the Tosfos where he says, Aval lishna di'i efshal anocha b'lo akira parach. And I have shapir. You don't have the word shapir, but do you see those words? Aval lishna di'efshal anocha b'lo akira parach.
Which says
this? Tosfos imraskel hochenami.
Aval lishna di'efshal anocha b'lo akira.
Parah. Stop there, because we're going to really focus on those words. And I think the Mishkanos Haroim is building. Again, I don't know who he's quoting. We'll have to find that out later with the footnotes. It's a little bit confusing to me. But in any event, those are the key words that he wants to be medayik for. And he claims that the Ra'ah would have said it differently. Why? Because what we're talking about is the case of what's the language of the Gemara? Gonav, what was the language? Hagonav kis b'Shabbos. Right? So gonav kis b'Shabbos means that he lifted his friend's kiss in order to steal it. And in order to achieve his agenda, he's going to take it out into Rishu Sarab. The Tosa says that this is Akasha on Rabbi Ovin. Why? Because it's a case of the Efshar Lanocha below Agbod. Certainly Rabbi Ovin would say in such a case that he's Potter. That we apply the principle of Kimlev the Rabbi. The whole thrust of this tosis to justify the Gemara's cash is he efshar below agba. The Ra'ah would have said it differently. The Ra'ah would have had it that the agba, insofar as it's an akira, is the beginning of the malach itself.
Atchalas hachiyuv.
Correct. Atchalas hachiyuv, atchalas havera, the way I like to call it. For example, if you look back on Kuf Tzadi, on the right column where it says because of Ra'ah, he says the ikar tirtz kushizu she'ena ikar akavona ela shekvar hischil. Those are the keywords. Shekvar hischil is chayev.
Right.
So forget about the Efshar or Lo Efshar. That's really secondary. Efshar or Lo Efshar is just a way of expressing or conveying a message. But the thrust of what the Gemara is saying is not in the is not das liknisht in the verta. It's not inherent in the words Efshar or Lo Efshar. Efshar or Lo Efshar, according to Ra'ah, just code words to convey, well, is it part of the chiyuv or is it not part of the chiyuv? And that's why the Ra'ah writes that a akira is vadei mishas akira hischil ischayev benafsho. Again, we have to wait to see if that akira culminates with hanukha, but the akira itself is the beginning of the chiyuv misa. That's not what Tosis is saying. Tosis is saying that it's the efshar below and the mitzius. And that's why in the next paragraph he quotes Rabbeinu Tam about Efshar l'nisuf below Agbah, which means that we're not operating within the framework of Al Pi Din. We're not saying that the nisuf and Avodah Zarah begins with Agbah. That's not true. The best that we can do here is to say that we cannot achieve a nisuf without lifting up the wine and then pouring it. So that's the Efshar b'mitzius. And he's claiming that if we put the two Tosas in together, you begin to pick up a picture here or draw a picture that's different than the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah is saying that we have to focus on the Efshar as the beginning of the Chiyuv and take the words of the Gemara out of their simple, straightforward translation. The Gemara says the Ra'ah never meant to say, well, is it Efshar or low Efshar? What the Gemara really meant to say is that if it's low Efshar, it's because it's part of the Chiyuv. It's the Akira HaMechayevis.
But this is...
That's not what Rabbeinu Tam is saying, for sure. And now he's saying that's not what our Tosfos is saying of Halchinami. He's saying that he Efshar b'mitzius.
But this isn't even... Then the Ra'ah is even expanding the Tzorech more than we said the Rabbeinu Tam was expanding it.
Not really. I think the Ra'ah at this point, again, we'll get back to the Ra'ah because there's more to the Ra'ah than we've mentioned. But at this point, to what we have in the Ra'ah, it's all a matter of what is the Tchilas Achiyuv. And in the case of Hotzah, the Tchilas Achiyuv is the Akira. That's an abstract definition.
And what would Rabbeinu Tam?
Rabbeinu Tam is going to say, no, the Akira is the only way that you can achieve the Hanocha. You can't get to the Hanocha without making an Akira. How are you going to relocate it without uprooting it from its original location?
And the Ra'ah would say, not that?
The Ra'ah is going to say that it all depends on the Tchilas Achiyuv. So, for example...
So it's terminology. He's calling it Hatchalat Chiyuv, whereas Rabbeinu Tam is just seeing it as a continuation.
In the Metzius, right?
In the Metzius, okay.
And it's all one continuous flowing action because it's impossible to get to the end without starting at the beginning. Let me just see if I can illustrate this to you. Let's say... Let's say in Rabbeinu Tam's case of Hagbol Etzorech Nisuch, the Ra'ah would probably argue that this is not a Kiyu Etzorech Hanocha. There would be no Kimlev Deramine. Why? Because the Ra'ah wants to see it as the Tchilas Achiyuv, and there's no way, no how that you can say Hagbol is the Tchilas Achiyuv.
That's not clear enough connection.
Right, in Melechus Shabbos, you can say the Akira is part and parcel of the Melacha. You know, the Torah defines the Melacha as an Akira that culminates in Anocha. But in the case of Avodah Zarah, there's no way you can say the lifting up Yayin is Avodah Zarah.
So with the Geneva and Melechus Shabbos, the Akira is the forerunner of the Anocha, right? But that's where the Geneva takes place, at the Akira.
Right, or for that matter, in Mazik, any period of time with the Shirayim between the Akira and the Hanocha, that whole period of time. But that's because, A, which is going to be Rabbeinu Tam, because you can't get the Hanocha without an Akira, or B, according to Ra'ah, because the Akira is part of the Chiyuv Malacha of Melechus Hotzah, and then Afkamin is going to be Agbol Etzorech Nisuf. Rabbeinu Tam is going to say, well, you cannot achieve the Avodah Zarah, the violation of Nisuf, without first making Agbol. And the Ra'ah is going to say that's irrelevant because what I need is that the Akira should be part of the malacha, part of the avera machayeves. And in the case of nisuch hayayin, the avodah zarah begins with nisuch and ends with nisuch. It's not nagbah. Nagbah is a preliminary. It may be a necessary preliminary, but it's not part of the avera. Exactly. That's what he's claiming. My problem is that I think he's backtracking on what he writes here on Daf Kuf Tzadi in the last paragraph on the page. Umavur midvarav. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the Ra'ah.
This is all the Ra'ah.
Yeah.
The entire page is the Ra'ah. So we saw one part of the page, that was the Kos of Ra'ah. But there's another part of this presentation in which the Ra'ah seems to go beyond the Tchila Sachiyuv, and that's the case of Chelev. He has to pop it into his mouth in order to swallow it. So what would be if he was Chayev for Gnevo or for Mazik after he puts it into his mouth? Let's say, for example, at the moment that he puts it into his mouth, he rips somebody else's shirayim.
Not to, it's not that they're happening at the same time.
Well, is the achnasa part of the machayev of chelev? And this again is lechora should depend upon Rav Eitan versus the ra'ah. Assuming that there's no way he can get it down his throat without lifting it up, or without putting it in his mouth at least. I shouldn't say lifting it up, because that he can circumvent by bending down
and get it in his mouth.
But somehow he's got to get it into his mouth. You can't be chayv for the chelev in his belly until he gets it into his mouth. So from Rabbeinu Tam's perspective, here we have another example of Hagbol Tzorech Nisuch, that just like you can't do the Nisuch without lifting up the wine, you can't swallow the chelev without putting it into your mouth.
Yes.
And therefore we could apply the principle of Kiyu Tzor Chanocha in the Shitas Baliatosis, but in the case of the Ra'ah, we have a problem because we cannot upgrade Hachnos Lepiv to a status of being part of the Achil itself, part of the Machai and part of the Avir.
As a matter of interest, first to do the Nisuch, does he have to do the hypo, or somebody else do the hypo? Like say with a hanoka, if somebody else does it, there's no issa.
Right, and in the case, somebody else does the hypo, and then he pauses. Yeah, he'd be chai for that.
He'd still be chai.
Correct, and that's the point of Rabbeinu Tam. The breakthrough of Rabbeinu Tam is that since the Metzius, I need that Hagbah, if he himself did that Hagbah, then from that moment and on, we're going to apply Kimli the Ramine to Gneva, Mazik, whatever the case may be. In this case, it's actually Gneva because he lifts up his friend's Yayin without any intention whatsoever to return it. So he's already made a Kenyan Hagbah as far as Gneva is concerned. But at that moment, says Rabbeinu Tam, he's already involved in the Nisuch that culminates later, because there's no way you can accomplish Nisuch without Hagbah. In the Ra'ah's frame of reference, that won't cut the mustard, because we got to go a step further and say that
the actual Isha starts.
And we're not going to say that Hagbah is the beginning of the Isra Avodah Zarah. And by the same token, we're not going to say that Achnos Lepiv is the beginning of the violation of the Isra Achilles Chelev. Although it may be true that you can't eat the chelev without putting it in your mouth, but that doesn't make the hachnos lepiv part of the avera. So I got very excited about that, but until I saw this paragraph, umevur mitvarov, because this is the case of hachnos lepiv, deika b'din akiru l'tzor hanocha, to set up kimlev d'ramine, he says, tre gavne means two categories. Mm-hmm. So now we're talking about the expanded definition of the Avera, which includes A plus B, includes Akira and Hanocha.
Mm-hmm.
If you can fast forward for a moment, which is about seven lines up before the end of the paragraph, there's another category, and again he's explaining the Ra'ah. under the heading of Akira Litzorach Hanocha. And what's that? The Mamakom Shemeikar Adin Ein Ze Aschola Sachiu. You see those words, Ein Ze Aschola Sachiu, Kigon Hagbov Achnosa Lepiv Bisachelim.
That's not enough.
No, he's saying Yeshba Ofen Nosa. He's giving you a second category. You see the opening line in this paragraph, Trey Gavne.
Yeah, right.
Isn't this exactly what Rabbi Tam is saying? Hence, I don't know why he's making machlokas here between Tosa and the Ra'ah.
He says, Ein ze hatchalat achiyuv.
And yet, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlev de Rabbin. Zeyet Tolu, Im Yochel Asusa Isa Bela Maisa Shekarim Lo, Eino Yochel. As far as Achil is concerned, you didn't have to lift it up, you could have bent down. But Achnosel Apiv is the Efshal Achla Biladel. And that makes it into Haschola Sachil. He's got two different categories of Haschola Sachil. So that, it sounds to me, in my limited understanding, that he's making Sholem Veshalva between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ra'ah. Because now he's introducing the second category. And yet, here on our page, which is Kuf Tzadi Gimel, he says, Ibra, the Midiri Atosis Yumash Vashesham Shita Shlishis. And if you fast forward to the last three lines in that paragraph, he says, Hare lo kasu b'pshitas kira'ah. What do you mean lo kasu b'pshitas kira'ah?
Gimel, that is, or
Kuf Tzadi Beis.
Beis. Oh, okay.
Lo kasu kira'ah, right? See, here he's making a plugta. And I understand why he's making a plug, because he's combining one Tosis with Rabbeinu Tam and the other Tosis.
Yeah.
And he's saying that there's such a thing as a mitzius of E-Efshar, and that alone is sufficient to generate a din of Kim Leib the Rabbim Mineh.
Yeah.
Of Akira Tzorach Hanocha, because for mitzius it's Tzorach Hanocha. And why is that against the Ra'ah? When you yourself, back on page Kuf Tzadi, in the paragraph Umavur, yeah, you formulated Ra'ah as adding a second category, which is the case of Achnosa B'Piv. Well, Achnosa B'Piv is exactly what Rabbeinu Tam is talking about as Hagbol Tzorach Nisa. That's where I got lost. And then if you look at the next paragraph, he's going to say, Rabira Svara Di Efshal Anoch V'Lakir L'Shita Santosus. Again, he's bumping off the Ra'ah here. You see, Tosis has a unique shita of Akira below, of Yeshua La'anoch below Akira. So how is this different than the Ra'ah? That's what drives me a little batty.
Clever. The interesting comparison between the Tok De Dibur of the Edim.
Oh, so let me read that. He says, Yishlom Dikeva the Efshal Anoch Lo Akirim Keima He Shaita Askala Le Malacha Umishas Akira Maskil Chiv Misa Mela Chiv Moment Shechal Vishas Askola Sachiv Misa Netshik Moshu Vas Achas. Wow. He's got a whole new structure here called Vasachas.
Yeah.
What he's trying to do is, he's trying to bridge the gap between two periods of time, two moments of time.
Collapse it.
He's got T1 and T2. And he wants to say that even though the Chiyuv Misa is a little bit later than the Chiyuv Mamon, but it's close enough to be considered the Vasachas.
It's within the T1 time frame.
I guess so. So whenever you need A in order to achieve B, and you can't achieve B without A, then as far as Hilchus Man is concerned, that is considered like one time period.
One time.
Because you cannot achieve B without A. So whatever happens at time T1, which we call A, is Bavasachas with time T2. And where do we find this? We find this in Eidus with regard to Toch Kedei Dibur. Yeah. I know he's giving a strange mashal here, I wouldn't equate the two. But he's saying you could have things that happen in two different times, and Al Pidin it's considered like they happen simultaneously. And here also, even though the Hanukkah is later on, we're going to consider as if the Akira is Bavasachas with the Hanukkah. And that's enough for a Bavasachas. And once it's enough for a Bavasachas, it's enough for Kimlev the Rami.
Right.
And later on he's going to compare it to another issue of Tachav Lo Beveis Habliya the Ritzbah. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to sleep on this tonight, see if I can brush it up. Because again, I'm still a little bit perplexed here. I understand where he's working with this new category of Akhil Tzachanov and Mitzias, that's fine, and he has the Rabbeinu Tam. With that, I'm willing to go, because Tosfos' language here in Kagon is the Efshar B'Anoch B'Hagbah. He seems to be talking in terms of the Efshar B'Mitzias. That all is fine and dandy, but I don't know why that's against the Ra'ah. That's what I can't wrap around my head. You know, the Ra'ah also had two categories of Akhil Tzachanov. All right, we'll have mincha now. Oh no, we have a few more minutes. Okay, so I'm just going to spend a few more minutes in my own mind here to try to see if I can work this out here. Oh, that's the key. Now at least I see. I'm not sure. If you don't mind, Rabosai, if you're still with me, unless your head is on Mincha, which is okay, then on Kuf Tzadi, towards the end of the page, go up three lines and underline that phrase, Chelek Achiv.
Kuf Tzadi.
Kuf Tzadi, three lines, this is Ra'ah.
On the left hand side.
On the left hand side, three lines up before the end. If you could highlight this with a yellow highlight, Chelek Achiv. Do you see that? Here, let me show it to you.
Oh, you're down here.
Yeah, three lines up before the end of the page.
That?
Right before that. The two words before that. Chelek achiv.
Ah, I see it.
He's contrasting hagbah and hafnasa lepiv. Right, so you have chelek. First, you lift it up, and then you put it in your mouth, and you swallow it. Right, A, B, and C. And he's claiming that With regard to Hagbah, that's too early, so to speak. Velo chashiva chelek achiv. Do you see those two words, chelek achiv? His goal here in understanding the Ra'ah, in the second category of the Ra'ah, is to upgrade something to the chelek achiv. And we cannot achieve that in the case of Hagbah and Chelev. Why? Because it's very possible to swallow the chelev without lifting it up, i.e. if he bends down. So the bending down obviates the need for Hagbah, therefore it cools off the hot water of Hagbah and says, you know, Mr. Hagbah, with all due respect, you're not part of the chiyuv because you're replaceable. We can circumvent you and drop you. We can ignore you. Oh, but when it comes to Achnosel Piv, which is efshar lachila biladeh, there's no way, no how you can get it down your throat even if you bend down without achnasa l'piv, then achnasa l'piv, according to the Ra'ah, becomes chelek me'achiv. And now you want to underline another two words on the last line. You see those words, maskil achiv. Now this is not Rabbeinu Tam and this is not Tosfos. Now I'm beginning to understand. Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos are talking about not maschol sachiv. There's no way that Hagbah in the case of Nisuch is going to be considered maschol sachiv. Right, it's a whole different idea. We're not classifying the efshar as maschol sachiv, but rather we're classifying it as a time period in which he's involved in the chiyuv, such that we can already create a bavas achas by linking up two moments in time. The moment of time when he when he lifts up the yayin, and the moment of time when he destroys the yayin, and at that, and then incurs a chiyuv misa for avodah zarah. So it could be that according to Tosus, in the case of Chelev, the achnasa l'piv is already a moment of time which equals the bliya for which he's chayav as a mazik or as a ganav, whatever it might be. Why? I mean, after all, it's going to take him another few seconds until he swallows it. It doesn't matter. It's all the masachos. And that's because the Efshah below Zeh. So we're not going to apply the principle of Tchilas Achiyuv the way the Ra'ad did. Because what the Ra'ad is doing with Achnos Lepiv is he's breaking down the distinction between Akiru Tzorch Hanokha's halachic principle, where you cannot be Chayav for Hanokha without Akiru, and the Akiru Tzorch Hanokha as a Tchilas Achiyuv. It's a Tchilas Achiyuv because it's unavoidable. It's absolutely necessary. That makes it a Tchilas Achiyuv. Tosis is going to have a different approach. Not Tchilas Achiyuv, but Zman Achiyuv. And he's going to expand the Zman to include that first action which is necessary as a prerequisite to achieve the Chiyuv. But it's not Tchilas Achiyuv. It's never integrated into the Chiyuv itself. So that's at least Askola. All right, we'll leave that tomorrow. I'll be a little smarter on this.
You want to do that?
Yes. I'll take it for her, maybe.
It's good.
It's good. Thank you so much.